expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sorry, I digress. Oh, boy, here we go again. It's Sunday, the 25th of October, 2020. Wow. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host again for Sovereign Radio. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting of all of endless energy, the immovable object and unstoppable force of nature. She has seen more BS than Joe Biden's undecided voter form. Just saying. Good morning. And she's getting quiet. What's up?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Never mind.
And
our newest member, the kid that rocks around the clock faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And last but not least, the guardian of the magic button of silence, the librarian of bumper, the time bandit of breaks, producer extraordinaire, Travis.
Good morning.
Oh, that sounded a little creepy.
It's Halloween.
No, I kind of like that. That was nice.
Thank you.
Creepy.
Thank you. Fine.
Yeah. Wasn't like you were going, whoa.
It's not that like he was different. Asking, would you like a popsicle?
Okay, now that would be creepy.
Oh, boy.
That is creepy.
Yes. Wow. I'm going to let that go. I was going to play my creepy, haunty organ music, but... it's going to take time to come up. Anyway, wow. We also have a special guest in the studio with us, Lori Bridgeford, and she is, I'm not sure what we're talking about or why she's here. I'm kind of been left in the dark, as
it
usual.
It has to do with what's going on with the mask.
The door was open and I came in.
The mask.
And all the beautiful information that they're feeding us. Yeah.
Yeah, that who was that masked man used to be a, you know, different thing. Wow. So how you doing this morning, Lori?
Pretty well.
Good. Yeah, this mask baloney is getting old, isn't it?
The mask and this PCR test. And that's
hold on, Lori. I can't hear you.
Maybe she's... you got your mic on?
Is her mic on, Travis?
It should be on. Talk into it.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, maybe you just weren't close enough.
Yeah, you got to get closer.
A little bit closer. There you go.
Come
here.
A little bit closer. No, I mean, no.
Well, I have to say, I normally like to be in my pajamas and sipping on whatever and being in the chat room, so I'm kind of have to adapt here. I'm Miss Mother Goose. Please watch the chat room, Javis.
Well, where should we get started on this mask thing? Because
how about starting with the document that was uncovered, or you got information, the 84-page, I think it was, document?
Oh, yeah, Corey has that one, and I've got the website if people want to take a look at this. This came out. The vaccination plan, this one? This is the big enchilada. It's 84 pages, and I copied page 2, which is the table of contents, and this is basically how to prepare for this whole vaccination unleashing and all the requirements and how public health and the county and the state. And this has been in preparation for a while. This is a draft, and they've got dates on, I believe it was on page 3. So that's something maybe Corey can address. I know he and I were at the Sundial Bridge yesterday doing our open mic for Open Minds.
I've got it I've actually got it all pulled up and ready to plant it on Facebook so people have access to it.
Very good. Interim draft. And it spells it out, folks. So this is not some, like, you know, ill-thought-out, hey, why don't we do this? This has got logical planning, just like many people are convinced, as I am, that this COVID-19 has been a plandemic. It has portions of a scandemic, and it's a case-demic, because mainly my focus today, if you don't mind, is going to focus more on the PCR test, because that is how they hook us in these different tiers. Mm-hmm. This is how we have this spikes, and this is how Dr. Ramstrom, public health officer, and Ewert over there as well, convinced and talked to the board about you know, all these school closures, business closures, the lockdowns, temperature taking, hand washing, mask wearing. I mean, this is a very systematic program.
Well, and I've got some stuff pulled up for this as well. And, you know, I'll post this on Facebook and Twitter, too. Ex-New York Times reporter Alec Berenson, Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns. And he put out a couple of books, and I've downloaded them. I haven't had time to read them. That kind of refutes this whole thing. Let me get it pulled out here. It's on, and you can get this on Kindle, off of Amazon and so forth. Let me find it here. Here we go. Unreported Truth About COVID-19 and Lockdowns. And this guy goes through the death counts. He shows how they're being manipulated. And there's part one and part two of this thing. And I would highly suggest that everybody read this, because it goes into what they were doing, how they're manipulating the figures, how they're taking the death rates and manipulate them. And I'll give you an example of what we're talking about. Some people who are infected have no symptoms or mild symptoms. Even those with more severe symptoms may resist going to the hospital, then recover on their own. We have a clear view at the top of the iceberg. The serious infections that require hospitalization, but at least in the early stages of the epidemic, you know, they were mild hidden infections as well involved in this. But to calculate the true fatality rate, we need to know the true infection rate. If 10,000 people died out of 100,000, that means that there's a 10% of all people it infects, it kills, making it very dangerous. But if 10,000 people die out of 10 million infections, the death rate is actually 0.1%, similar to a flu. So what they've done is they're calculating, you know, things to make it look like it's higher than lower. And making the death rate seem much worse than it is.
Well, it's also the way that they're testing.
Well, and they're covering up information. Here's some information as of today on just the news, and it's the title of it is Multiple Journals Reject Major Mass Study Amid Hints It Shows Masks Don't Stop COVID.
Right.
And so it is a major study out of Denmark sought to examine the efficacy of face masks and the limiting the spread of COVID-19 has reportedly been rejected by multiple academic journals amid hints that the study found face coverings are not effective in protecting individuals from coronavirus. And then also we have another video on the same one that Dr. Fauci, for example, told CBS on 60 Minutes in March, right now, as a quote, right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks. And now all of a sudden it changes.
Well, and this whole report was originally done by I don't have here it is right here. It was done by Imperial College COVID-19 response team. This was in early March. And this is the one that, you know, got everybody afraid of everything and scared and a lockdown and everybody's going to die. But you know that there has not been one death in the state of California of anybody under 20? I mean,
that wouldn't surprise me. I don't know for sure.
Well, according to this guy's figures, and this journalist from the
but it goes back to the way that they're testing. They're not testing properly. They don't have, and I think that's one thing Lori wanted to go over, is how they're getting the information. It's not like they're testing and able to isolate the COVID, correct?
Right. I mentioned this a little bit on the radio show yesterday with Freedom in Action, and basically it's an amplification. It's not FDA approved. In fact, locals, they sent me a letter. Oh, you know how they have the media briefing, you can send in a question, and if there's time, they'll answer it. Well, they didn't have time to answer my question, so they sent me this double speak letter that the FDA has not approved the PCR because it's an emergency use item again. So it's just like the fast track, the warpy speed, everything. When you put rush next to science, that's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. So basically what they're looking at is dead fragments, old fragments, other coronavirus,
right.
past vaccine issues. If you have some inflammation or maybe a past or a low grade infection, this is going to be amplified, and they don't have a set standard or a cutoff. It varies from the U.S. to Canada to Italy and France. No standard, no gold standard. And so whether they'll get one or not, this is the perfect thing to put us into these strangleholds of color purple, red.
And there's no green. You know, you notice on their chart, there's no green. There's no we get.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We could be in red forever, according to the way that they're handling this. But let's go back to the amplification. What they're doing in this amplification is they keep magnifying, doubling the look into your cells to see if they can find a COVID cell. And they do this 30 or 40 times to the point where if you got one dead cell or a cell that you have no chance of being infected or possibly being infected at all, then you test positive. Mm-hmm. That's your test. So you could get everybody to test positive.
Yep.
Well, interestingly enough, too, from what I've seen and heard on a lot of this stuff, is when you actually end up getting the results back, it gives you no indication of how many times they had magnified it.
Right.
So you may have a case study to where somebody says, oh, we have 40, 50 people here who have it, and yet at the same time, their magnification might be three times what the standard magnification would be to show what that virus is.
Absolutely. And there's different testing companies. They have their own proprietary level. So you've got 33 different companies making this. You've got different cutoff points. So this is a complete – it's a joke. And people, I swear to God, if your job is holding you responsible to go get tested, I would consult a lawyer or something or look into this, because you're going to be followed. There's going to be big consequences when you show up as a positive and then they can call you an asymptomatic carrier. Mm-hmm. That's a new term. It's completely made up. And this is to keep us all in a fear, panic, be afraid of each other, you know, give the look of disdain if somebody's not, you know, in a mask or two. And I think I've seen the businesses are turning around. Like, if you need a mask, wear one. If you don't, do not hassle the customer.
That's the proper way to handle this. So.
And with that, we need to go to a break. If you want to call in and have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
It's one big experiment. They want control. They want to see who's going to shut up and obey.
Stand up, yeah, this is stand. I ain't backing down. Back off, suggest you back. I will stand my ground, I take my mask off. Take my mask off, because y'all are clowns. I take my mask off. I take my mask off, because I won't bow. Stand up, yeah, this is stand. I ain't backing down. Back off, suggest you back. I will stand my ground, I take my mask off. I take my mask off, because y'all are clowns. I take my mask off. I take my mask off, because I won't bow. Salute the president. He showed us that to beat it like an alpha man. It's evident. We don't need a vaccine man.
That was okay. Tyson James, mask off.
Okay. Oh,
we're just reporting on a fire here that's out there by Gas Point Road.
Gas Point and
Libby Lane.
Yeah, Libby Lane.
And that's just a couple of three blocks before Happy Valley Road out there off of Gas Point. So,
and it's growing quickly. It's like growing, and then for a start at Gas Point.
Some of the reports that I've heard on it was in about the last 5 minutes, it's grown from about 50 acres to 100 acres.
Yeah, 150 acres. Yeah. It's growing fast. So
you hear that, Rich? If you're out there, Rich, be ready.
Yeah.
And pass it along. Everybody get the information out to, so you never know who lives in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway. Let's get back to our quest for the truth in the with regards to COVID-19, scamdemic, plandemic, demdemic.
Dumdemic.
Dumdemic.
Let's go back to this testing piece.
Okay.
And how the different companies are testing and their percentages.
Yeah, it's completely unreliable. You can't determine if it's an infection. Notice how they always say cases. People, please pay attention to that. That is an intentional word choice. Occasionally they'll say infection, but you've got to pay attention. That,
you know,
that's
I got to interject one thing. Mm-hmm. Cases are not deaths. We can have a million cases, and if one guy dies, should we shut down everything?
Well, and even then, when you end up looking at what the deaths are, the comorbidities that are on it, I believe it's easily above 90% for comorbidities.
Yeah.
And
they're not checking to see what the underlying conditions are or reporting on that piece of it.
Yeah, the last I saw on it was the average age death for COVID-positive patients was 73 years old. Well, according to the CDC, the average age of death overall is 73 years old. So
right.
Where are we honestly going to break down the information and say, hey, these are the facts of the situation? And you go back and you look at diseases we didn't shut down for, like polio. Polio was so much more serious than this, than you can possibly imagine. Polio is about 1 in 10.
Tuberculosis is the most serious right now, and that's the one time you need to put someone in a mask because they are indeed contagious. It has been identified, but you don't mask up an entire healthy population, suffocate them, and call it a day.
Well, and if it was doing some good, you might have at least a rational reason to do that. But you go back prior to all this crap and do a little homework on what the CDC said about masks. They said they don't work, period. They don't solve any problem at all towards viruses. And then all of a sudden, the masks have to be issued. Now, this report that was issued by the Imperial College happened to be a report that was funded by the WHO? The World Health Organization.
World Hoax Organization.
The World Hoax Organization, who has been reversed their position numerous times. This whole thing, if you're buying into it, is complete crap.
Well, they've actually become so widely unpopular that they're paying off celebrities to do endorsements for them for the World Health Organization because their information has been so flip-floppy and back and forth, and it's... Really, at the end of the day, you can end up looking at that private call that was between Cuomo and between another individual, and he's talking about how it's not a rational response that they're doing. It's a fear response to try to make people feel better.
Cuomo? Did you say coma? Or Cuomo?
Cuomo.
Uh-oh.
Cuomo. That's like, I think they're in a Cuomo. Coma. It's been like Christmas.
He might as well be.
Jeez. So these epidemics are not nearly as bad as they've been putting out. you know, and it, do we want people to die? No, but you know, the chances of death are biggest percentages is in as if you're 80 years or older. It's not even 75.
Well,
it's 80.
It's not even that battle at this point. The battle that you actually have to look at is suicide rates are up. You have drunkenness and people who are having these morbidities and issues from all these issues of drinking and drugs and all the rest of it that's also spiking tragically. You have 10,000 kids who are expected to die from malnourishment and starvation this year because of the shutdowns and the lockdowns. That's not even including the other individuals mm-hmm. that are not going to be able to feed themselves. Because I know for doggone sure, if I'm starving, but I have a little bit of food, I'm giving it to my kid.
Well,
so if these kids are dying, the parents are dying too.
See, so let's go back to this 80 or older. So if we know that population is the most at risk,
vulnerable,
the most vulnerable, why would we put COVID patients that tested positive into old folks' homes where the largest percentages of population and they did this in the five states that are owned by the Democrats or owned, controlled, or, you know, governed by the Democrats?
I have a theory. Yeah. I do, and it's probably not going to be a popular one, and it obviously is just a theory, but I had been reporting on it a while ago about how our Social Security is on a timeline to run out by about 2025.
Sure.
And what we're ending up seeing is that you have the older generation, which is forced to take their money out of the stock markets, and they're forced to take their money out, and the younger generation has not been putting their money in until recently when we saw that crash. They ended up putting some money in, but everybody was saying that, hey, we're on the way to a financial ruin situation, and what better way to get rid of your Social Security burdens than, I don't know, put a bunch of infected individuals into the place where all the old people are, like what they did mm-hmm. in these places? I mean, I think it was about money. I do.
Well, I think it's always about money, but I also think that these guys don't give a rat's behind. What they want is control. And you know, you take, for example, Mussolini down there. What's his name? Newsom. And
I just call him the Joker.
The Gavin.
He really looks like the Joker.
So he's in there making deals with China over these masks and making, you know, what was it, $1 billion worth of masks or some?
It was something like that. Yeah, that
never got received.
That never got received.
And actually, in some ways, that actually looked like it might have been a money laundering scheme.
No.
Now, in light of all that, you know, we're not going to go into it yet about what's happening, with Joe Biden's son and, you know, the crack pipe, underage girls. Yeah. One happens to be related to him, which is his ex, his brother, who's dead, his wife, her mm-hmm. so it's his niece. And they're doing weird things behind the scenes with crack. In the meantime,
don't forget knocking up a stripper while dating or getting it on with the dead brother's wife.
All that aside, as screwed up as it is, is okay. And so, you know, here we go. I mean, as screwed up as that is, have we got sound yet?
No. Well,
oh, I got to play.
He's saying yes.
Okay.
On his end.
Okay. No. There we go. So, with all that said, and I got a special place in my heart for that little. We're going to come back to you, but the money from China has been funneling in. Now you start analyzing it, you know, money laundering from Gavin Newsom. You got money laundering going on with Joe Biden and son, it looks like. You got money laundering coming in from China all over the place. Rudy Giuliani just did a big deal on this. Mm-hmm. And then the virus is coming in from China too. Now, Also,
let's go ahead and wrap this up in a nice tight bow. This is as of today from the Post. Hunter Biden venture eyed government whatever.
Cuomo.
Chuck Schumer.
I like Cuomo better, but go ahead.
Some call him nipples, but you know, if you get lost, that's your go-to word. But anyway.
Hold on a second, because
That's creepy.
So they eyed him and Chuck Schumer for deals and documents. The failed Hunter Biden business venture, which ex-partner said involved Joe Biden, targeted key domestic contacts, including Governor Cuomo, and potential projects across the country, documents reveal. That's today's information. So wonder why these guys would be trying to stop Trump from looking into this so much.
You know, and that's not the only one. There's several of those going on.
Not
that's
only
not
that,
the only one. It's
they have
endless.
Shut down the media. Twitter has blacked this out. Facebook has blacked this out. Yeah. Everything's been blacked out. Now, if you analyze this machine at all, and let's turn full circle and come back to COVID, and we'll do that after the break. This is all unrelated, right? This is
right.
Just all an accident, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, we'll go to a break as soon as Travis gets off the phone.
Okay.
We've got Feinstein, the pharmaceuticals from China.
Got a 20-year, employed her driver's a Chinese spy. Nothing to see here. It's all Russia.
Well, and even Facebook right here. Communist Party-run media insisted that American technology companies ought to safeguard the election by all means, advocating for platforms to censor election-related content posted by President Trump. Yep. In addition to that, we have Facebook that just hired Chinese nationals to turn around and start being in charge of their censorship.
Does anybody see a theme here?
We
you should send your kid to the school and learn Mandarin. Remember how many kids here, over on the east side of town? Come on. Call it School of the Arts.
Yeah.
Reading School of Arts.
Mandarin. Yeah,
that was their big thing.
For Reading.
And with that, we're going to go to a break now. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Okay, we're back. Cyber Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Say that five times fast, and you can come into the studio. What do we got?
We have a caller, Lynn, on the line.
Before we get to the caller, I just want to put out there in regards to the fire, they're having mandatory evacuations at Joanne Lane and Libby Lane right now.
Okay, wow.
Wow.
Okay. It's like this is such a dangerous time of the year.
Worst part about it, too, is a lot of these folks got their power shut off, so they can't even use sprinklers or water out there. And at this point, I mean, PG&E in some ways is doing worse for the public than if they hadn't shut it down at all. And I get it, but by the same token, doggone.
Yeah, well, and I guess they're setting up an evacuation point at Evergreen Road. So probably the school on Evergreen, so I want to get that out there.
It's hard to even trust anything they say at this point. Is this rolling blackouts? Is this, you know, what is this stuff? Because, you know, is it for the fire danger? Is it for the equipment failure? You know, what's it for? So
I guess we got Wynn on the line.
Oh, we got Wynn on the line?
I guess.
Wynn Carpenter?
I guess. It's yes. Wynn. Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, guys. Hey, great show. And I forgot to, we forgot to mention during Jefferson State of Mind, and I just wanted to remind everybody that I want to thank everybody for coming out on the other night when we had the Trunk or Treat at Caldwell Park. It was awesome. There were so many kids out there, happy, smiling, collecting candy from all of us that had our trunks open for the kids to come by, and the parents were happy. They were running all, the kids were running all over being kids. And I saw two preventative masks, if you will, being worn. Everybody else was mask-free except for the costumes. And it was awesome to see. And the kids ran all over the grass, and they ran over to the park and played in the play structure area. And it was just really cool to see that, where it was a window in time of normal. And it was really nice to see that. And, Mark, thank you for doing the second run. I guess we had a gentleman come up and donate $100 for
candy.
Additional candy in case we ran out. And we were getting low, so this guy gave Mark $100. So Mark ran to the store and came back and resupplied all of us at our trunks. And we had more candy to give out to these kids. It was awesome.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
It was
important
really fun.
For kids to have the ability to be kids. And the thing that I want to kind of make clear to everybody, this stuff, it's not rocket science. When you go through and you look at the time that we had and the time that we wasted, by no fault of Trump, Trump's been trying to get us to reopen, what you see is we had 2 weeks to flatten the curve. That was so that we didn't have hospitals that got overrun and overwhelmed by hospital patients, and we didn't see that. In fact, what we're seeing is we're seeing hospitals laying off staff because people are not coming in for the preventative needs and preventative measures. And what I'm afraid of is we're going into a time right now that we're not going to be able to social distance. We're heading into winter. You're not going to be able to do outdoor dining. You're not going to be able to do the things that we've been doing. And you are probably going to see spikes in this virus. And at the end of the day, what should have happened and what should have taken place is we should have protected the people who were most at risk. We should have protected the elderly, and we should have let the guys who have a 99.9% chance of making it out of this thing go out in public, resume life, get that immunity, so that when we hit these periods of time to where we don't have the ability to social distance and do what we've been doing, we're not going to see these huge spikes because people are already going to have immunities built up in their system.
I think the only way to beat this thing is exposure, period.
Well, back to the fire real quick. If people are not able to look up in their yards or their farm or wherever they are and visually see what's going on because they're not getting that communication technology or they didn't figure out to go put the batteries in the radio, they need to look up. And if we were watching the last few weeks, we have had geoengineering spray day after day. I take pictures all the time. I think I've been doing it since 2014. We have been decimated by a variety of aerosol spraying, which does not help. Not to mention, I'm a mental health therapist, our community is so loaded with PTSD and trauma that it's just constant. And so if there's not some other way to you know, mitigate the stress level, and if you can't get outside or do some of these healthy habits, it's not going to be very good, folks.
Well, I think just maintaining healthy habits of eating right, exercising, getting out and having some sun, and
get your immune system right.
Exactly. Get some exercise, you know, maybe take some supplements, and I think that's how you beat this whole thing.
Well, that's how you beat it all.
Some vitamin C.
Is your health echinacea. And how you eat. You know, why not educate the people more? My thing is, you know, they're saying, you know, get vaccines or whatever, do this. Why not educate the people on how they can make themselves healthier by their food, by their environment, by the sun and everything?
Well, and
that's what it's all about.
None of us are doctors, but we have brains and we can look this stuff up. And you can clearly see the things that will be beneficial to be able to boost your immune system.
When you're sick, you don't call CDC or NIH or the FDA. You call your doctor or a clinic. And so people are just so convinced by this propaganda that's out there. And if I can just share that doctor, he's a PhD, Carrie Mullis, he's the inventor of this PCR test, And he said right away it was not for diagnostics. They tried to do it when it was the HIV AIDS era, and he died last year, but he got a Nobel Prize in Chemistry, and definitely he said that this is it's lazy science. His quote is, "Scientists are doing an awful lot of damage to the world in the name of helping it. I don't mind attacking my own fraternity because I'm ashamed of it." And that's Carrie, spelled K-A-R-Y, Mullis, M-U-L-L-I-S. And there's been a massive amount of information going back to this test because it's being abused and used upon us.
Well, yeah. Let's go back to this part about the propaganda, because that is, I think, our biggest problem, period, is that we've got a mainstream fake news media across the board and all of the mainstream stuff, and people are still used to being able to use that as a reference. You know, and I'm looking at this thing from the After Five magazine.
Helping what, 1 second. When was there something else, or are you just hanging on?
No. That was pretty much it. But, you know, being healthy is just, you know, filling the kids full of sugar and letting them run around. How much healthier can you get with
that? Right? And I went away with that problem. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mark, but
right.
I knew he was still hanging on, and I didn't know what he was saying.
It didn't kill us yet.
Thanks for the call, man.
No, well, I just wanted to give kudos to all the people that participated in that. It was wonderful to see the kids. Again, the kids were having a great time. The parents were grateful. Oh, my gosh, they were so appreciative. They kept saying thank you over and over again. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this.
Well, because there's not going to be a Halloween this year in the traditional sense, the way things are going.
It's every day, Mark.
Well, there will be at my house if kids want to come by. So.
Well, and the thing is, too, that I feel is just so out there. It's so insane. People keep looking to the government and saying, oh, is it allowed to have Halloween? Is it allowed to have Thanksgiving? Is it allowed to
have
a wedding?
Oh, please, Master,
church.
Can I?
It's not the government's job to tell you.
Can't sing at church. You know, Gavin Newsom comes out and says, oh, wear your mask in and take your mask between bites up and down. I mean, are you kidding me? It's insane. So I'm looking at this After Five magazine, and this is our problem, helping seniors recognize fake news and propaganda. And you look at this is by Jim Miller. It's insane. You know, it says, in addition to partner has worked with AARP to produce Fact Tracker.
Okay, we got several things going on in the studio,
anyway.
Guys. So, anyway.
So, this Fact Tracker, produced by AARP, they're not a left-wing organization. Then he refers to, you know, PolitiFact and you know, checking all these sites. You've got to do your own homework. You can't, and you got to think for yourselves. You can't rely on any of these places, like this Fact Checker thing. Good grief. I've seen them fact-check stories. They fact-check one of my stories. It's absolutely spot-on true. And then they turn around and they don't even publish it in English. It's being fact-checked by somebody who can't even write in English. And these guys are hired to do these fact-checkers. And I'll give you an example in this last debate. We had all these fact-checkers on Trump. Trump said this was wrong. Did anybody check the fact that Joe Biden said that, you know, there's so many people going to lose their health insurance if they get rid of Obamacare? Don't you remember, you know, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your health plan. You can.
There's going to be no problem.
The premiums aren't going up. You're going to save an average of $2,500. Mm-hmm. And immediately we lost 25 million people lost their health insurance to start with, to begin with. Did anybody fact check that? I'm telling you, the game is totally rigged by this big tech, big company guys. You know, and who owns, you know, YouTube? Who owns Facebook,
Twitter,
Google? All of these guys, for whatever reason, you know, they're dogging the hunt owned by Chinese companies. You know, I'm not sure what the reasoning is, but you can't depend on these guys to check anything factual. I mean, that's why Trump has been saying from the beginning, fake news, because these guys are getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar over and over and over again with their lies. I mean, they've just blacked out the biggest story in American history, a president, a candidate for president who might be compromised by the Chinese, and they're blacking it out?
I don't want to interrupt, but I got more coming in about the fire. They're asking for people to evacuate ahead of this fire. I guess it's moving very, very fast, folks. So they're asking people to evacuate west of the intersection of Bowman and Evergreen Roads. I guess it's moving
so it's
quickly.
It went south then. It's going
southwest. Yeah. But, yeah, if you know anybody in the area, please get the information out. I'll keep you posted as much as I can. Keep it coming in the chat room. I mean, I guess it's just moving really, really fast. So, you know, I'll keep you abreast as much as I can here, folks. So,
All right.
Get that. With that, we need to go to a break, and then we can pick this up on the other side. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Radio, we're back. Well, that's an oldie one, a little Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. Have we got an update on the fire at this point?
No, it's about the same. So I take it that the evacuation, it's moving kind of southwest maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
showing Smith Lane is where I've got it on a live fire map, but that's not showing.
Live west of the intersection of Bowman and Evergreen Road. So. Right. I take it that is over by the school, if you're familiar with the area. So, like I say, if I get more information, I will let you know. So, but I guess it's moving pretty quick.
So let's answer the question of the caller who called in and said, who's setting the standards for these testing on the COVID, which is kind of a, is there anybody setting any standards on anything?
This is the classic, isn't it? There's no one in charge on this because the FDA has excused themselves on the test. They will not authorize it. There's about 57 tests that have been okayed by the CDC. That's a different agency completely. There's about 190 different labs. The media briefing that happened on Wednesday, Rob and the new gal, can't pronounce her last name.
So this is a cluster.
Yes, it is, yeah. With the capital F. Yes, indeed. So, and they're trying to have more state testing kits available, maybe add more additional lanes if you want to do the drive-through test. They want to increase the staffing so they have more and more and more testing. They want more mobile options like the vans to go to where you are. So it's all about rapid more volume bomb because if it
Well, it's
like
showing more cases. So, I mean, I wouldn't get tested right now unless you felt sick. And even then, I don't think I would get tested because what are they going to do? They're going to quarantine you. They're going to do a map tracing of everybody. And you're not sick at all. It's like getting tested for a common cold, and then all of a sudden you're going to get locked down.
Yeah, and then the problem is, too, but though, if you want any kind of surgeries or anything, you automatically have to be tested. Otherwise, they kick you to the curb.
Wow.
And a lot of people want to do it when the end of the year with their deductible. You know, the holidays, there's time off. So there you are, folks. You've got to make a big decision. Do you really need to do this? Do you need to comply?
Well,
yeah, because what's the next step? They're going to start setting up centers and do mandatory testing? Is that where we're headed?
What if they test your kids without asking, like they do with the vaccines? They give kids the, what is the age cutoff, 12 or 13, if you want birth control, if you want to have a gender reassignment, if you want to do a lot of things, you don't even have to tell your parents anymore.
Well, right. And here's the other side of this, too. None of this has any lawful authority. I got a problem with that. We're supposed to be a nation of laws. And when you got guys down from the Capitol all the way to the local level, just making it up as they go along, saying there's emergency when none of the warrants, none of the numbers warrant it. It's like, what are you doing? Because now at the argument that, the lawyers for, Mussolini, Gavin down there was having the other day in the courtroom was that he can declare an emergency and legislate and do whatever he wants under these emergency acts. But there is no emergency because it ran out. So what you're doing is that if a guy can just declare an emergency with, you know, no facts, then he just basically gets rid of all law and he's in charge, you've just created a king with one easy swoop of taking over the place because all of a sudden, you know, they're trying to make it lawful for him to crown himself king. Because if you can declare an emergency as an emergency, whether there's actually an emergency, it's just a perceived emergency because you've got the media saying it's an emergency. What are you doing?
Yeah,
what's very interesting to me, too, and I have a story that is directly from my wife's mom. And she had coronavirus. She lives in another state. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor went to give her this therapeutic, and she felt uneasy about this doctor and with what he was trying to give her. And she said, I want a second opinion. Well, she went to another doctor and got that second opinion and found out from the other doctor that the therapeutic that she was going to get was three times the normal dose and would have been lethal.
Jeez. Wow.
And then after that, she had been giving my wife all kinds of crud about actually having the conversation with them and saying, talking about the vaccines and stuff like that. And my wife's mom, like she's avid liberal and avid as far as vaccinations and the rest of it. And she's like, you were right. I'm sorry for giving you crud on this because they tried to kill me and they get money for these, for the COVID deaths. And now she's saying that everyone calls her crazy when she had this instance go down and right. She had this doctor that said, no, that would have killed you and they would have made money off it.
And we have a caller on the line. We've got Jackie. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. Could you tell me exactly how many tests are there in California? How many companies do the tests, and what are the standards? Are they the same amplification or not?
There really is no gold standard. I've been tracking this for a while because I've just been stupefied at what a mess this has been and that we're just starting to uncover that it's not adding up. The holes have been there since the beginning, Mark, when you said in the beginning, wear masks, don't wear masks. The flip-flop has been just exasperating.
About the amplification of the virus?
Amplifications can be as low as 20, and then you might test
as high as 35 or 40.
40 and 45, 50, yeah. And 60
yeah.
even. So if you're going to crank it up all the way and they're magnifying a portion of your own DNA, There's inherent problems in this. So,
well, if I'm not mistaken, too, on the amplifications, each time they're magnifying it, it's times two. So right. When you end up seeing that, once you have a times five, you've already timed that.
Right.
And you've already times it each time, making it double. So when you're talking about 35, when...
You're down to the cell level and you're down to atoms, you know.
If I get a test, should I ask what amplification it was?
They won't tell you.
Well,
it won't even be recorded.
Is there a standard in California?
There's no standards.
There's no standard for
at all.
You keep asking about standards. You keep telling you there is none.
That's the thing we're trying to tell the public is that these standards, there are no standards.
It's arbitrary.
We're asking for standards.
So if you have a positive test, you don't know if it's because they amplified it too much?
Well,
exactly.
I've
you don't know anything. You don't even know if the positive test is correct.
It's positive. I seen a guy go get I was reading about a guy. He goes and gets a test. He's negative. He goes and gets another test. He's positive. And he goes back and gets another test, and he's negative. Same guy.
How about Tanzania? Well, they tested a goat, a quail, and a pawpaw fruit. Positive. Come on. This is a nightmare.
Yeah, they can make it whatever they want.
They want to show more cases because that's what they're basing
this
lockdown
on. Well, that I do understand, but I was hoping there would be some standard as far as the amplification was.
Well, we would hope so, too. We wish there was, too. Then we could have more accurate numbers, but we're not getting that, and we won't get that
because
under the circumstances.
Because this is not about the COVID virus.
Who's in charge of testing in California?
What?
Who is in charge of testing in California?
There's multiple companies that do these tests, and
Abbott,
none of them are...
BD, Abbott?
Yeah.
You're probably...
I'm not understanding the question. Who's in charge of it?
There's nobody that's overseeing it. They basically just have these tests, and they're going through and recording all these numbers, in many cases, arbitrarily.
And there's shortages, too, sometimes. You have one hospital, A, borrowing to the other hospital.
They just got tests over at Costco now.
Home
testing at Costco now.
Oh, jeez. What do you think?
Like $120 to get home testing. Like, literally, there is absolutely nothing.
What could go wrong in a home test? Let's say you're smoking, whatever, or eating, or you're mishandling with the temperature, and you go out of the temperature range that it's supposed to be. I mean, they're just putting this in our hands to screw it up so easily.
Because they want cases.
They just want a number. That's all they want.
I think the reason to keep it arbitrary, like they're doing, is so that they can move it back and forth on the needle to say, oh, well, we have this many at this point in time, because all they need to do is do that, then they can shut down places that are getting unruly.
Well, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour, because we were supposed to go to a purple tier yesterday, and then all of a sudden they got on the phone and they talked to everybody and they recalculated the numbers because the numbers were off, and then all of a sudden we're staying in red. You know, because those
okay.
It's all,
well, thank you very much, I guess.
Yeah,
all right,
you're
thanks
welcome.
For calling in. We wish we could say there was standards.
We're in the same boat as you. There's nobody that I'm aware of and nobody from doing the research on it that's actually overseeing this stuff. And it's,
wow. Okay,
it's sickening.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Maybe the only people are the ones that are manufacturing the test.
Well, it's like I said before, when you start connecting the dots, when you start connecting the masks with the politicians, you know, with you know, the lockdowns, with the takeover, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this has been weaponized. And 2 and 2 equals 4. Go ahead.
Before the commercial break, if I can share something, this is I read actually comments sometimes more than the actual YouTube or video because I don't have time for these long videos, so I just go straight to the summaries, and sometimes I find a great amount of information. Here we go. This is about symptoms of COVID. Call myself the COVID vixen right now. Anyway, do you have loss of small businesses, elimination of physical money, inability to move outside your home? How about loss of facial recognition or expressions, new or worsening hypochondriosis, Trump derangement syndrome, the inability to process statistical data? If you or a loved one experiencing these symptoms, talk to your doctor so they can kill you and profit from it.
Well, here's another thought. If this was all perpetrated by big tech, big companies, are the big tech and big companies winning or losing in this economic battle? Who's suffering the most from all of this stuff? Is it the small, you know, mom and pop restaurants and shops? Are they the ones that are suffering, or is it Amazon Prime and all these other
big pharma
companies, you know, and Lowe's and all these other companies that never shut down, never had a problem, they're all essential, you know? Who's winning this, you know, this battle here, if it's such? But
and who's going to come in and save the day?
Let's think about this too for a minute. CDC.gov. Here is the possible symptoms. However, there may be more symptoms than these. Fever or chills, cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, muscle
All right,
or body.
Sorry, they're going to cut us off. We're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds.
Are hangnails in it?
1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Put a candle in the window. But I feel I've got to move.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com, I'm Jeremy House. Senators are poised to remove a key hurdle to Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation today. Democrats are mounting procedural hurdles but have no real ability to stop the confirmation. They say the election winner should make the pick. The White House says Vice President Pence plans to maintain an aggressive campaign schedule this week, despite his exposure to a top aide who tested positive for the coronavirus. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows says Mark Short, who is the Chief of Staff for Mr. Pence, is okay after coming down with COVID-19.
I think he's doing well, so hopefully the prognosis might be really good.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says the Trump administration is doing everything it can to slow the virus.
We're encouraging Americans to be careful. We've done lockdowns. We've banned travel. We're urging people to wear masks and to be careful about how you interact with others, to socially distance. And we've got to do all those things to flatten the curve so that our health care system is not overwhelmed.
The vice president's office says Mr. Pence does not have to quarantine because he's considered an essential worker. Pence himself tested negative. Maryland voters can begin to vote in person next week.
Early voting centers open Monday morning and will operate daily until November 2nd. Maryland has allowed early in-person voting since 2010, but it wasn't offered during the June primary due to the COVID-19 pandemic. More than 1.6 million Maryland residents already requested mail-in ballots by a deadline earlier this month. Maryland ballots will include the presidential race, congressional seats, and two statewide questions on amending the state constitution. John Scott reporting.
Thousands of Iraqi protesters have taken to the streets to mark 1 year since mass anti-government demonstrations swept Baghdad and Iraq south. Police fired tear gas in central Baghdad to stop protesters from crossing strategic bridges into the green zone. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. Thanks to Genesis 950, I can have guests for the holidays without the shame of pet stains and odors. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can even be used in a carpet cleaning machine. And it's green, so it's safe for my family and pets. Before you purchase new carpets, you must try Genesis 950. It's made in America. 1 gallon of industrial-strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's great for floors, bathrooms, kitchens, garages, grease stains, wheels, tires, degreasing engines, and upholstery. Need a holiday gift for a pet owner? They will love Genesis 950. It's available on Amazon. However, if you order a gallon direct at genesis950.com, you will receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and discount using code SALEM. That's genesis950.com. genesis950.com.
Finland's interior minister has summoned key cabinet members into an emergency meeting Sunday after hundreds of patient records at a private Finnish psychotherapy center were accessed by a hacker or hackers who were seeking ransom from clients. Finland's interior minister tweeted that authorities would, quote, provide speedy crisis help to victims of the security breach at the Vastamo psychotherapy center, an incident she called, quote, shocking and very serious. Tanzania's opposition faces a new obstacle in its quest to unseat President John Magufuli in Wednesday's election. It says the government has made it difficult to accredit thousands of opposition electoral observers who want to ensure the vote is fair. Opposition leader Zito Kabwe warns that the issue could lead to violence, saying his party won't allow polling stations to operate without the observers. News and analysis at townhall.com. Colorful Hindu festivals have been scaled down this year in India amid fears the festive season might lead to a wave of new coronavirus infections.
Prayers have gone virtual and organizers are live streaming sessions for the devotees. But some musicians are still performing on the street. Food blessed by the goddess Durga is being home delivered so people don't have to gather to pick it up. In many states, police barricades have been erected around the usually buzzing places of worship to avoid large gatherings. India has the world's second largest number of confirmed coronavirus cases after the United States. I'm Sarah Bassett.
Newly formed tropical storm Zeta has stalled in the western Caribbean, but forecasters say it poses a risk of a rain-heavy hurricane for Mexico's resort-dotted Yucatan Peninsula and the U.S. Gulf Coast. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
That is good music. It just is.
You like that?
I love that.
Well, there you have it. So we were just talking about what happened with Tubin.
Okay. You said it. You said it. Now Tubin. I can't go back.
It's just disgusting.
So if anybody wants to look that up, we're not going to go into it too
much. We got to now that you said it.
Hashtag Tug and Tubin. So the story, and I'll tell you, I fell out of bed laughing.
Whacking it for the crime family.
It's just unbelievable. Here's a guy. He's like the senior legal analyst at CNN, and he works for the New Yorker. Total liberal, Trump hater, totally deranged. So what does he do? They're having a Zoom meeting. I don't know.
And he's having fun.
The Zoom meeting, there's like, 10, 12 people there?
Well, interestingly, too, is the Zoom meeting, they were wargaming the political elections and what's going to take place on election night. And so he is there on the phone with a lot of these attractive news anchors, and I guess he just can't help himself. He turns around, thinks he mutes his video.
Sorry. He is helping himself.
Aims the camera, for whatever reason, down towards his junk and proceeds to whack it. Whack it really good and not in the mafia sense.
It's just surreal. What the hell is this guy thinking? Well, we already know what he's thinking, but why is he thinking that? And who does that at a Zoom meeting? I mean, who gets on a Zoom meeting? And decides it was a mistake. I didn't know the screen was on.
I didn't know anybody was watching
me. So if you didn't know the screen was on, who does that at a meeting?
None of this is surprising me anymore. I mean, really, what we have is we have one party that waves the American flag and one party that's the Mexican party.
I am telling you, you just can't even make that up. That's just absolutely insane. But if anybody – I fell out of bed laughing because it was the comment section that just got to me. You know, I mean, there was so many comments after that, that it was just incredible. But if anybody's interested, you go look that up.
Well, and this is 2022. I mean – a joke for you, a meth addict walks into a computer repair shop where the owner's legally blind. Just happens to have information on it with backdoor dirty deals with Russia, with Ukraine, with Iran, China. Links all of the rest of these people. I mean, how stupid can you be?
That's what I'm saying. How stupid are you? You're going to take in three laptops that completely convict you. And your father, who's running for president, by the way, and you drop him off and you forget about him.
And then the fact, too, that the guy is legally blind but can still work on computers. What is he, Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah.
Daniel-san. And he's apparently good enough that he goes and he sends off these laptops to the FBI. The FBI didn't have the resources and didn't know how to open them up, so they call and they have this blind guy walk them through how to open it up and get into the freaking stuff.
And there's more. There's more because he makes a copy of it on top of all this while the FBI holds the other hard drive for a year.
Yep. Well, yeah, and when you have Dan Bongino, Dan's actually going through and he has contacts. He comes out of he was a former Secret Service agent. He has contacts that are contacting him from the FBI saying they're sick of the people at the top who have known what's been going on, who have known what's been taking place, and yet they haven't done anything about it. They say, oh, well, we didn't have the chance and the resources to be able to touch that yet. Yeah, dude, you had it since
now,
the beginning of the year.
This is the context of the Zoom meeting. Now, I posted this, James Wood, who I think is, you know, an absolute genius and very witty, his remarks. I posted this and it says that now, the purveying thought here is that this was a distraction from this other thing that was going on with the laptop. So they had to do something to get the media off of the other story. So this is what James Biden posts. James Woods. Hunter Biden got a load off his mind when Tuggan Tubin yanked the spotlight from him. I mean, what? I mean, this is surreal. I mean, you can't make this crap up. And so then they know that it's his, you know, then they're trying to pedal back from the computer. Oh, it's not his. Except that his attorney tried to get it back from him. Yeah,
and you have these 50 former intelligence hacks that come out and they say, well, we have no information to suggest that it's actually Russian propaganda, yet we are going to say that there's a likelihood that it could be Russian propaganda.
The partner for James Biden's son, Hunter, comes out and says that the big guy knew about all of it.
Yeah.
Well, and you also had the FBI come out that said there's no evidence of Russian information or disinformation on this. And now you actually see the news media changing their stories on what's actually taking place to where they're not saying, oh, well, we have all this information about Russian information. Now they're just calling it a Russian information scandal. They just dropped the diss off of it, and that just means it's true information. What's the point?
I think this is a great segue into our next guest. We have Congressman LaMalfa on the line with us.
We do.
And maybe, Dave, you could ask him if he's aware of the story that we're talking about with the laptop and Hunter and the crack pipes and all that stuff.
Yeah, if you'd like to get into it. Good morning, Congressman Doug.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. How are you today?
Hey, great and refreshed after a nice time at a rally up in Reading yesterday, so...
Yeah, I had the pleasure of joining with you over there, and we did a rolling rally where we had some individuals come out with our Trump flags and otherwise, and you had mentioned that you had been across the country, and we hadn't gotten a chance to get into the poll numbers at all, but really what we're seeing right now is we're seeing people that are saying that if Trump wins, the pollsters, they're out of a job. Nobody's going to trust them. Nobody's going to take them seriously. And really what we're seeing right now is I can't think of any Trump supporters that are not voting for Trump, but I can think of a lot of Biden supporters and know a lot of Biden supporters that are now voting for Trump. And so tell us a little bit about your experience.
Sure. That's the whole walk away movement there, isn't it? So,
Blexit, walk away, all of it. Yeah. Go ahead.
I know a fellow who calls himself an embarrassed Democrat who doesn't change his registration, which I guess you don't have to, but he isn't voting now. So that said, yeah, there is tremendous heartland support for the president, and we see it everywhere in our part of the state and anywhere you might travel. When you get outside the city where maybe people aren't as bullied by having a Trump sticker on your car or a flag or something in your front yard, you know, it's amazing. And so how the polls could be reflecting this, you know, polls are polls, and part of it is how the poll is asked and what the sample base is or what is the agenda of them. You know, I think it's and are people going to answer honestly because they're kind of getting used to being browbeaten by saying, hey, I support Trump, you know. So,
well, and they're not. I mean, we end up seeing these people over, like in Portland, you have Trump supporters that are getting shot for wearing a hat. That's the nature of what this is. Just down the road from my house, there was somebody that zip-tied a Trump flag to one of the arms on the railroad tracks and created a flagpole for it, which I thought was hilarious. But then a couple days later, somebody comes along and tags the sign out there with profanities about Trump. Somebody paints over it. They come back and tag it again. And I'm just laughing the whole time thinking they're too lazy to get up on that flagpole and take the flag down, so instead they do this. But one side's destroying property.
Or wait for a train. You know, maybe they could be resourceful and wait for a train.
They don't want to wait. They want everything easy. But so I wanted to let you know, and in my ballot yesterday, I was happy to cast my vote for you. I know you're up against Audrey Denny, and I honestly have no respect for the woman at all and what I've seen that has taken place there. And so I wanted to give you a chance to tell us what your plans are for our county and for our area, and give a chance to reach out to the people on the show.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the invite.
You're very welcome.
You know, just honored to be able to offer myself as a candidate. We have a great, great country that any one of us can step up and do this at any level. You know, I mean, there's the ability for us to speak our minds and offer ourselves as alternatives if you don't like what's there. Yeah. Now, with the Antifa efforts these days to silence Americans they don't agree with, that's indeed very scary. And you see that playing right into what's going on with the Silicon Valley weirdos and all those that are censoring. It's just offensive to anybody that's paying any attention that, you know, every Facebook post that even remotely mentions voting or COVID for that matter, the Wuhan virus, they're posting something in the middle of your post saying, here, get information about voting or get information. And what's wrong with information? Like, well, you know there's a bent to it. You know there's a twist to it. And when they are working overtime to censor your thoughts and make sure that everything you're saying is 100% perfect, whereas the other side, they're getting away with a lot of their interpretation. And I think part of the debate for regular people, especially regular people,
is
you don't have to be 100% correct, but put some ideas out there and then, you know, see what people think and argue with it, you know, debate it a little bit.
What I notice is you can be 100% factually correct on everything that you're saying, but be on the wrong side of the political aisle and they'll ban you. In fact, that was the segue that brought you in on. Are you aware of this laptop from Hunter Biden and across the board with the alleged allegations?
Oh, right. You were saying, I haven't heard a thing about that. No. I watched the big three news out of you know, New York City there, so I don't hear anything about that. Is that a thing, you guys? Okay, tongue-in-cheek aside, yes, it's obviously a grave concern, and every other source that hears about, or is asked to weigh in on it, whether it's the Department of Justice or the intelligence agencies, when you can get them to, you know, put honest people forward, who trusts FBI and CIA very much anymore? But
we can't. There's too much evidence against them.
It's being verified as either true or not true. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they're saying the emails are real, that the laptop exists, and Joe, when he's asked, doesn't really have an answer other than getting all angry and saying, "Don't attack my other son, who's deceased." You know, so it's a disingenuous argument. He's been hiding for days in the basement, months really, mm-hmm. but 4 or 5 days to prep for a debate with the president. I guess anybody would want to hunker down when you got the president coming at you. But,
well, and that was pathetic. And when you look at the polls on that debate too, it's evident what Trump has been trying to do with his base is he's trying to empower his base fiercely, because really what this is a battle of the bases, and he's trying to unseat Biden's base by showing Biden's base that, hey, he's not the guy you want for the radicals that want to completely destroy all the oil, and he's also not the guy you want for the guys who want to be able to keep their job in Pennsylvania who have fossil fuels and otherwise. So he's flip-flopping back and forth trying to keep his base satisfied, but really what you end up getting when you get both him and Camilla is liars. Every sentence from Camilla's debate was a lie. I went through, I was streaming that one live and fact-checking her live. It was every sentence or every other sentence out of her mouth was a lie. And with him, like this whole instance, the one portion of the debate that I felt that Trump didn't rock on was the instance of the 500 kids that were in Mexico. And when you actually know the true story on that, I wish he had had the opportunity to get the true story on that, because there's 487 cases which are being litigated. And in the case of ICE and in their statement, they said that those kids were actually, they know where their parents are. They reached out to their parents, and their parents don't want them back. In a lot of cases, they paid coyotes, which came over the border. And for the people that are out there that are the left lunatics who think that the coyotes are the dog, no, we're not talking Roadrunner. We're talking the actual individuals that come across the border and traffic humans across the border. That's who they did. So
that's hysterical, isn't it, with the coyote part. But the kids part, If their families are still in, whether it's Mexico or El Salvador or Honduras or, you know, whichever Central American country they might be emanating from, and our people, you know, our resources have been expended very, you know, with a lot of effort and probably cost to find out who the parents are, then you find out they don't want them shipped back to them. So what are we supposed to do? And if you have basically the, you know, sex trafficking, child trafficking market out there is booming. And so are we supposed to just turn them loose to the first person in the U.S. that can put a claim on them? I mean, that would be irresponsible. So, you know, Obama's cages, I mean, the president was trying to make that point. But, you know, those stats you cite, I don't have those memorized either. But we know that there's problems with the return of the children. And at some point, how is it the responsibility of our government to be doing that much in that area anyway? I mean, Mexico has a responsibility to not even be letting them hit our border with the coyotes. And so that's why the continuation of the building of the fence and having the staff along the border that we need to ensure that no one's getting across, at least not easily, is essential. And then that's going to finally put the brakes on a lot of bad things with the, you know, whether it's the trafficking of kids and people and the horrendous things that they go through coming across. You know, I think if we want to have a workforce in this country, let's have a legalized workforce. Let's have people that are coming across with work permits like many other countries have with the, you know, Israel has a work permit program for people to come across from countries that don't like them very much, but they're cleared, and it seems to work out pretty well for them. So
absolutely.
That's what we need.
What people don't seem to understand is that America takes in the largest amounts of immigrants yearly, and we take in by far the largest amount, and I think the very next one is Germany after that. And we are a melting pot. There is a legal way to come here, and there are some provisions that I think need to be made to make it easier to come here. But by and large, the Hispanics who are here, they understand the problems with Mexico. They understand what's taking place. And in fact, you even have Mexican patriots that are over on their borders trying to protect their borders from people that are trying to flee into Mexico. In fact, right now there is a caravan of 6,000 individuals that are trying to make it to our border, and they're going to make it to our border by about November 3rd, right in time for the election, to make another big scene of this whole thing. And it's,
well, I hope our National Guard and all of our Border Patrol and all of our personnel are there, Not just because it's an election, but because it's the wrong thing to begin with. But that's an invasion, and we can't sustain this. And if we don't do something about it, it continues to leave the green light on for this activity to keep happening from anywhere south of that border. And Mexico, you know, I mean, it's a little bit a bit of hypocrisy that they're clamping down on their border and not on the south and not helping us in the north. And, you know, we have these trade agreements and these other relationships we're trying to have with them, but, you know, they have a responsibility as a neighbor, and I would look at that very closely as to what our continued relationship is, depending on how they're acting.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my biggest concerns is we have that joker, Gavin Newsom, And he's out there giving, not only making it to where we don't get the money that President Trump allotted from the last stimulus for when the unemployment was there, he was trying to block, and I believe he did actually successfully block some of the money that was supposed to go to those individuals that were unemployed. He did that.
Well,
and
he's got a string on that. He's got a string on that money that was supposed to flow to local governments, and that was never even close to congressional intent.
Mm-hmm.
The legislation, which it indeed came together at high speed, and you know, I'll admit it's kind of sloppy, but we were in a tight situation, and you still have to have Republicans and Democrats come to an agreement on something. If we're if the Republicans are working too hard for perfection, then you never get anything passed, and the American people are in a bad way because we didn't get a PPP. So you know, we could debate that sub issue, and I'm not happy. We're becoming more and more comfortable with the idea of throwing this word trillion around as a number.
Yeah.
That makes me really nervous.
It makes me sick.
So,
it was $4.6 trillion when Bush took over office. And now we're all the way up to where last I saw it was $27 trillion on the way to go to $45 trillion.
If this next bill gets passed, we're going to be up towards
$30. The HEROES Act is what that's the name they came up with. It is in its original form, is approximately $3.4 trillion. Now, so we had three bills to spend $3 trillion, and some of us are gnashing our teeth about the size of it. Not the part about trying to help America's businesses cope and survive, and the employees of those businesses, and the others that are all the stuff we're trying to do with bills. But that's $3 trillion in three bills, and Mrs. P wants to cram $3.4 in another new bill that has only contained in it. My reading of it is $10 billion out of $3.4 trillion would go directly to businesses. A whole bunch of other would go to local governments. And I'm not interested in giving Gavin Newsom any more authority to hold the strings on our counties and our cities. The original legislation, in order to get it put together and try to expedite things, was cities and towns and counties below 500,000, they would work directly with their respective states. Would have the mechanisms in place with their treasuries and their relationships with local governments to more quickly move the dollars that we block grant from the federal government to them. The largest cities and largest counties, we were able to go directly from the federal government. Well, anything that comes from a new agreement, in my view, and I have several of my colleagues in California all signed on to this, is that we block grant it all directly to the counties and states, no matter how, cities and counties, I'm trying to say, no matter how small, and bypass places like Gavin Newsom has plain money. We have the Inspector General case open on, is it even legal what he's doing with that? Because that money's supposed to pass straight through. It's not supposed to be, held to up in case, Shasta's acting too purple or too orange or too red or whatever, or the other county's been getting jacked around by the governor who's saying, we're not going to let you have this. That's why you're seeing these revolts that are happening here. And, Shasta County, Nevada County down there has got quite a revolt going, too, because people are angry that they're getting played like this.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. It makes me sick, that first stimulus bill. That first stimulus bill makes me sick to my stomach. When I went through and I saw what actually was the tax burdens on the American citizen and I added it up, it was around $18,000 in additional taxes over the course of every man, woman, and child's lifetime for the $1,200 that you ended up getting as an individual, at the same time offering bailouts for the Smithsonian, who ended up laying off employees afterwards anyway. You had our governor, Gavin Newsom, who went through and he made it to where he gave a stimulus package to the illegal aliens here, while at the same time, the very next day, laying off American citizens from within his area. And we're seeing this constantly. He's not taking care of us. And if they do not have the legal representation, I believe it's something like 6 seats that they'll actually lose as far as representation. And you represent a large swath of the area up here right now. And those 6 seats are taking away your ability to advocate for us up here. And we do have to take a break. Can you stay on the line with us, Doug? And we'll pick this up on the other side.
Yeah, let's go make some money and I'll be right with you.
Sounds good.
All right, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
That's a good point.
Well, I just wanna sit around and play. Gonna hit balls off the dock, kick back in my flip-flops. Don't owe nothing to the lender, nothing spinning in the blender. The only thing on my agenda is beer and sunshine, bonfire in summertime.
Redding Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Redding Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Back. We have Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who is on the line with us, and when we left it off, we were discussing a little bit about the representation that we have here within California and how the illegals are taking about six seats and adding them to California, and that's taking representation away from the legal American citizens who are here. And, Doug, what are your thoughts on some of these things? And one last point on this is that last bailout, too. I personally have a lot of business owners who are friends of mine, and they were applying for that government money, and a lot of that government money, too, in that. That went to big businesses, and by the time that they even applied for it, which was almost right after the bill got passed, the money was gone. And so
we had to do a supplemental. We had to do a supplemental on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get when you have to hurry legislation, and it's a mixed bag, you know. Helping the mess that we're in from the reaction to the Wuhan virus, and in some cases an overreaction. But early on, you know, who knew what we really had? Did we have another plague? Did we have a glorified flu? You know, and it's somewhere in between all that, right?
Right.
It's, a lot worse than the flu, but it turns out that it's much more survivable than a lot of the horrible things, you know. I mean, a lot of people are out there saying, yeah, something with a 99.8% survival rate, depending which tier you're talking about with
99.6 on average.
Or people with, you know, conditions that are already, you know, make it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
it's a tremendous survival rate. And then, you know, a lot of people with a little hint of sarcasm would say, yeah, it's the first one we've had where you have to take a test to find out if you're sick or not, you know. So
yeah,
there's a lot of people sick of playing the game here. So just talking about the bill in general, I never liked using the term stimulus or really bailout, because we don't have any job in the federal government being a stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Stimulus comes from the economy being able to react and move on its own, and people, you know, American people are much, much more innovative and creative than government can ever think of being. So I've never liked the idea that we're just going to go out and spend federal money or state money or any by and trying to just say, hey, we're going to go stimulate something. Only in rare cases might that be, and that might be aligned more with infrastructure. Well, you could stimulate things by building water storage or allowing somebody to build water storage, allowing people to build a better power grid instead of regulating to death the transportation infrastructure. You know, the more and more we can get people to build it that aren't under the constant thumb of Caltrans to build a project, you know, the better you're going to be. So I never refer to this as a stimulus package, and I don't want people to be thinking of it that way, because this is a disaster relief deal. We have a disaster on our hands, to, you know, whatever extent it is, and this is what we're trying to work through to get out of it. So it's helping keep the businesses alive so the employees have a place to go back to. So that's the concept. It shouldn't really be about, well, we're going to stimulate the economy. These, you know, $1,200 checks that we're getting handed out to people that are actually making more on unemployment plus the check.
Mm-hmm.
Than they were at their job is so, you know. But
when I'd like to remind our listeners,
imperfect bills in a hurry back there, and that's what, you know, there was a big to do over why the bill is being passed by basically a voice vote on the House floor instead of a roll call vote. And so, you know, a friend of mine, Thomas Massey from Kentucky, was trying to stand up for that, and they put that right down. So that wasn't pretty either.
Absolutely. I want to remind our listeners, too, that what we see right here with our unemployment numbers, our unemployment right now within this pandemic, within national shutdowns, within all the rest of what we see going on, is around the same amount of unemployment that we had under the Obama administration. Wrap your mind around that. When you end up starting to look...
It's coming back down from a bad peak, indeed. And that's, you know, what the president's talking about probably on... Well, just a few minutes ago when I saw him on TV, that we had this terrible curveball throwing up the best economy we had since the 60s, before the virus hit us and hit the world, had the best economy in 5 decades.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's because I believe that the president and us in Congress that helped and originated the Tax Cut and Jobs Act bill, when you start deregulating people and the businesses that are overseas see that it's attractive to come back here, that they will have that they can build a factory here, that they can get electricity, that they won't get sued to death, that they can, you know, get insurance, they can get employees that want to work for them. All those factors bring the jobs back here. And that's a double plus. You got the economy happening here. You got people moving off of unemployment or moving into better jobs that get paid a little more, pay better. We just have the big plus. The regulations, in a lot of cases, aren't really doing anything to help whatever it is they purport to be doing. They make just a lot of paperwork, a lot of delay. You know, like why does it take months to get permits to do a logging project?
Well, and in some cases, why does it take permits at all? When you see these people that are computer repairmen and stuff like that who have the ability to work on these computers, they're self-taught and they try to open up a small business. Now you've got a $20,000 license that you've got to obtain to be able to work on a computer that's going to make you $100 per job. When you see these people that need to get a permit for a landscaping license when they're just going to go out and mow somebody's lawn and they're trying to start a small business, you permit and you regulate things out of existence, and that's what we're seeing is there's deregulation is actually creating jobs. With that, we do have a caller on the line. We have Nick on the line who might ask a question. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. My question to you is real quick. Our deficit is 28 to 30 trillion, and it's going to go up maybe as far as 40. Realistically, are we ever going to pay that off? I keep hearing saying we're strapping it on to our grandkids. I don't think it'll ever be paid off, and I think our economy is more now printing and consuming. So if you could address that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Nick. We appreciate it.
Did you hear the question, Doug?
Oh, the first part was cut off, but I think he's referring to the national debt getting 40. Will we ever have a chance to turn that around, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's what I understood.
He wants to know if it's ever going to be paid off.
Well, we have to start running budgets that are surpluses instead of deficits. And so during my time here, the deficit of each annual budget, the lowest it got was somewhere around $400 billion a year. You know, so that was some constraint under the Budget Control Act, which was passed bipartisanly before I got there. That's more of what we need. But right now, in this window of time we're in, there's not even a thought about that. You know, so at least as far as virus spending is going, we're in a different, we're flying in a different vacuum here or something. So for the rest of operations of government, my priority has been to limit as much as possible, as much as we can negotiate, the spending of government with the same time rebuilding our military. Okay? Because we were in a bad way when President Trump came in with our military situation, you know, borrowing parts out of museum airplanes in order to keep our airplanes up in the air and all the other things, being under-equipped for our fighting personnel. Now, on the other hand, when we're looking at how successful were some of these war efforts we've had, you know, we had a quick turnaround with Operation, the two operations in Kuwait there and, you know, getting Iraq kicked out. But then, upon reflection, was attacking Iraq later on the right thing, or did we have some other method to account for 9/11? You know, I'm not the expert on how that would turn out, but when Trump talks about the endless wars and others, you know, others on the left would too. Like, there's a point to be made that staying in Afghanistan this long and staying in other places, you have to have a mission, you have to be clearly defined, and you have to take into account what is the culture of the people you're going in and trying to help, or, you know, you think you're trying to help, and they don't want to help. So
yeah.
There's a humanitarian side. If they're indeed gassing people in Syria, what are we supposed to do about that? Ignore it or watch it? So, you know, we would say that the trillions we spent on those wars would have been not right at the top of our national debt. So to answer the gentleman's question, we have to get back into a positive budget situation. If we can get caught up on our military, the needs there. We'd have a lot of submarines to replace. We're doing pretty good on flat tops, carriers, I mean, and I think we're doing better on pay for our personnel. We keep trying to pass that through Congress. They don't have to be on food stamps when they're away. So all these things moving together, and then what are every expenditure of government, everything, and we need to get better deals on what we spend in the military, too. You know, Trump's pretty tough on that. You saw what he did on the Air Force One negotiations when they first came in. They wanted to sell those airplanes to for almost double what they're going to now. So, I mean, that's how we have to be. You know, I don't look at tax dollars as something that comes easy. It's something that is taken involuntarily. You know, I used to love it when Clinton, those guys would say, well, these contributions are not contributions. Those are mandatory. And if you don't pay them, someone shows up at your door, pretty soon they're slapping a tag on your door and they're taking your stuff. It's not something worse.
Yeah, well,
so,
In regards to all
tax dollars come from the sweat of someone's brow and choices they would like to have with their money, you know, for their own family instead of government spending it on high-speed rail or other boondoggles. So fixing the thing is going to take a stronger discipline, and it's also, for those of us that are going to bring it up as we move forward and get past the virus, we're going to get called all sorts of names by the left for saying, well, you just bought this. You just don't care about people. You just want to take – well, right now during this campaign – this nonsense of my opponent saying I'm cutting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, that's just a complete lie. I've never voted for something that actually does that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go long term and look at the condition of those, Social Security runs out of money in 2035.
Yeah.
You know?
This is
after he pays back the trust fund of what's borrowed.
Also, when you look at Biden's plan, one of the things in Biden's plan that he is – it's on his website. You can go on and look at it. He's talking about once you've been on Social Security for 10 years, he's going to go ahead and increase your pay on Social Security. But when you look at what ages people actually apply for Social Security, you're talking like 63, 64, 65. So you put that out 10 years after that, you're already at 73, 74, 75. Well, according to the CDC, average age of death is 73. So you're going to finally start getting more money for your Social Security after you're dead and everybody else is going to be taxed for it. In regards to peace and in regards to the economy, one of the things that I'll answer the caller's question on that is that here's the deal. We have been operating at trade deficits with China and other countries, and we've allowed people under the Obama administration to take vast advantage of us to where we're operating at a deficit. If I trade you $100 and you give me $80 back, that's what helps lead our economy down the drain. So what Trump has been doing, and he actually achieved a good deal on the same week that the virus broke out to where we were finally going to be able to start making trade fair within our country and start getting ourselves out of this deficit, and you had all the people on the left who were going through and dropping their money into the countries like China because they knew they were going to let China take over the world. And that's what we're seeing right here. So I think we can pay off the debt, but we have to start taking the steps and making it to where we're making net positive instead of digging our hole deeper and deeper.
Well, President Trump and me, we talk about putting America first. I've always felt that way. But since, you know, before he was a candidate, I've never liked what they call fair trade or free trade. I like fair trade. Okay, free trade means that generally it's all going the other direction. I've always thought we need to have a policy. Basically, China, if you want to trade with us, we're going to hold a mirror up to what your policy is, you know, and we're going to go dollar for dollar and everybody else. Why does the United States have to keep absorbing? You know, I mean, hey, we want to be good guys and help people out, but there's a different way to. If you want to aid a country, it should have its own column, but we're going to aid them, you know, a recovery or building up a little bit so they can prosper too like we do, but it shouldn't come out of the hide of our trade of the people that are out there working, because, you know, I don't like that some of our cars are coming from outside of this country that have American nameplates on them, you know.
Absolutely. So, hey, Doug, they're going to cut us off here. We got to go to a quick break, but you want to remain on, and we also have a caller on the line when we come back.
Yeah. And before we go to break, I want to cut in regards to the fire. I guess because they've had so much air support, they've actually got a fire line around it, and they have stopped progress at this point.
Great.
So, toodles to them. Thank you very much, firefighters, for that.
Great.
And I will keep you posted if I get any more information. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Why is the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed your answer to better health and wellness? It's proven quality sleep. Any more questions?
Yes, I'm always freezing, and he overheats.
It's temperature balancing, so you can sleep better together.
But can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable.
So I'll have more energy for yoga.
Yes, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep.
Namaste.
Namaste to you, too. And now, save up to $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed and adjustable base, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go.
Fall is the best time to plant. Cooler evenings and warmer soil makes a super combination for growing. What a great time it is to plant. Goldleaf Nursery's fall sale is on now. Take 30, 40, and 50% off ground covers, shrubs, and trees. The fall sale is going on now at Goldleaf Nursery. You don't want to miss the savings. Goldleaf Nursery, open Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't miss the fall sale going on now at Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road.
And we're back. We have Congressman Doug LaMalfa on the line with us. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
And we also have a caller. Gene is on the line. Gene, how's it going today? Thank you for waiting patiently. I know you've been on there for a while.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. Well, I have a question. I had called Aaron Ryan some time ago about the refugees situation coming into the country, and I wanted to know what we are paying for the refugees. And she was surprised when she found out that for a family of four, we're paying them about $55,000 a year for 5 years. And I wanted to know if Doug could look into that and find out how many refugees that we're paying for, because that would be a huge amount of money.
Yeah, good point. I don't have that number of refugees at my fingertips here at this time. That would be a good piece to have a better handle on, because that should be something we're limiting. We were just talking earlier in the show about the need to continue to harden our border. All of our borders, but especially the southern one, which most of the problems are coming from. It isn't just, you know, people trying to come across, but also people trying to bring drugs across, and other countries sending their terrorist groups through our southern border is that's all a threat. But, you know, to be giving benefits, and we have to also look at, separate it out, how much would be happening if the federal government still in place under previous policies, which it's amazing to me that an Obama executive order that would be put in can't be taken out with an executive order of the president that goes through court. Courts uphold that. That's nonsense. But also you have to see what is our own California governor trying to do with giving away state-level benefits to those coming in as well, which just makes a California a bigger magnet. We have about...
Excuse me, go ahead. I don't think these illegal immigrants qualify for the refugee program. I think that's people that we allow coming in, and I think we even pay for them to get here. I'm not sure. That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, on the refugee side, the organizations that are advocating to bring them in that make money off of them. You know, some of them are under religious guys, or others that get a cut to settle them, as they call it. And so the UN helps decide what refugees they recommend. This is mostly under Obama. The president's been able to pretty well curtail some of the worst of this. But the UN is recommending for some really bad people to be the ones that the refugees that are put into the system. And so... we have to continue to clamp down on that. And after this election, I think we'll see strong movement on that. We get called inhumane by having tried to use discretion on that instead of just a blanket refugee passage. So when you have true refugees, yes, those are people that we allow to have some type of help for a certain amount of time. But when you have 20-year residents, which we've had, you know, Central American countries that have had great unrest, you know, we allowed, you know, decades ago some of those folks to come up, but it's supposed to be a temporary respite, not permanent. And
that's some of the flaws we have in either immigration or how refugee status is determined as well. So with good results in this election, we can make up more ground on that. But if it goes bad, then it'll be, you know, this other bunch that just completely give away the store on it.
Well, I know a lot of American families here that don't make a family of four that doesn't make $55,000 a year.
Yeah, I hope that's not the number. I think you have.
Well,
to,
look, she was the one that got me that information.
You were told over 5 years.
Pardon?
You were told that number was over a 5 year family.
Erin looked it up and she was shocked, and so she and she had sent me the connection with the email, but
Well, you hear different numbers and you hear different things put out there, so you have to really dig down hard to get what I will call true facts, because there's a lot of things we call facts. So if it's that much per year per family, that's horrendous, because as you say, there's a lot of people with real struggles that are good American citizens trying to get by. Their job has left them, et cetera. So
we're gonna run out of time.
Okay,
here. We got about
you.
5 minutes. Okay. So we appreciate your call. We got about 5 minutes here, Doug. Go ahead and if you got anything that you want to get out there right now, now's the time to do it before we get to the top of the hour and we won't have any time left.
Oh, I don't want to just go on. Do you have any more questions or subject matter you want to cover here in the time?
One thing I would like you to have a look at,
sure,
and look into is, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, it's been very much hidden and very much taken away from the public eye, but the Transition Integrity Project was a war game that they put on with John Podesta, who was playing Biden, and there's some very concerning information within their manual and strategy, so to speak. It's supposedly supposed to be something bipartisan, and it is a war game that said all the different ways in which either Biden wins or it's close, Trump wins or it's close. And in the event of a Trump landslide, what they had suggested on it was that they would have street fights, not a legal battle, that would end up breaking out, and they would activate individuals from, like, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and what we're seeing right now is there's over 200 groups that have protests planned for November 3rd on election night, and they're also planning to activate other individuals in addition to these legal battles that go on, and the end game is if Trump wins in a landslide, under this plan, they said that they were going to try to split up California into different states. They said that they were going to try to make it to where they have Washington, D.C. become a state and statehood for Puerto Rico and the abolition of the Electoral College to where our votes won't mean anything on the right, and that the homeland and the Midlands are not really going to have a say or a vote. And so I want to have you look into that and come together with some plans and some actions, because they certainly are.
I think you have to go to Judicial Watch to get a copy of that, Doug. I think that's where it's from.
Okay, if you have that handy, shoot that over to Erin there, and we can take a good look at that. But
yeah, I think I do.
I do shudder for what post-election night would be for either result, because, having to live with what Biden and Harris would inflict upon us is—it's just unfathomable to me what they will do. You've seen it; they're right up front about it. They don't hide it anymore. That they want greater control. And even when this virus is seen as largely over for most people, I don't know that these governors are going to relinquish the power that they've seized. You know, our governor, the governor of Oregon, she said she didn't want people crossing county lines to buy things out of free counties if you live in a controlled county. I mean, what is that? The governor of New Jersey, the governor of New York, governor of Pennsylvania. We got some bad people in charge, and they're taking the basic liberties of people under the guise. They have an excuse with the virus, with the disaster, with the crisis. And I think a real cornerstone that we have to always fight for, and we have to fight hard, is our basic liberty and freedom. It's kind of funny. I one of my staff showed me a post on my opponent on her web or Facebook page where she likes to talk about liberty and freedom. She resents having to say the words. You got to check that out.
Yeah.
Liberty and freedom to her mean government programs and a healthcare program.
It's just like how Joe Biden can't say republic when he talks about into the republic for which it stands. That word always gets him. He always goes, oh, you know the thing. Well, we have one minute left, Doug.
Yeah.
We also have another guest that needs a minute to wrap up, so we thank you very much for coming on. I want to encourage everybody to support our local people who are fighting for us, such as Doug LaMalfa, and also take back our House, take back our Senate when that time comes. Thank you very much, Doug, for being on.
Thanks, Doug.
I appreciate being on, and tell your folks, don't get in a long line on election day. You gotta vote maybe a little differently than what we're used to. So the potential for long lines in the larger towns could be an issue. So get your ballot ready at home and then drop it off.
They're going to cut us off.
Thanks for the invite, everybody. We can certainly follow up again.
We're out of time. You're going to have to come back. Right. Yeah.
Remember. I have to say that to get it out there, the evacuation orders is on Evergreen Road from Bowman Road to Star Drive.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is foresight. And Foresight Fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this is KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. And thank you, Lori, for coming in. And we will end this conversation maybe next week with more information.